The Old Testament lesson is from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go from around the land of Edom. The people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people in Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson from Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "You were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John 3:14-21. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because the works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
I'm a very patient person. I pause here because some would say, "That is not true." So I'll say it again. Most of the time, I'm a patient person. Still, that's probably not true either. Really depends on the situation, like this one. Several years ago, I was driving the church bus on our mission trip. On the second day of our trip, we stopped at a gas station in Burns Lake. I try to stop about every 2 to 3 hours to let our group stretch their legs, use the washroom. That's Canadian for restroom. Maybe grab a snack. But there's always one youth or young adult that seems to be the last one getting on the bus. Despite giving them a time that we were there, they're always late. So this one time I looked up, and there was Alex Georgie wandering around the store. All of a sudden, he looked up and noticed he was the last one. So he quickly ran into the washroom. So, what do? Do you wait longer? Or teach them a lesson, and everyone a lesson? So I did the right thing. I left him. I drove off. I radioed to Tyler, who was driving the U-Haul with Marty, and I said, can you give Alex a ride once he comes out? I know, I should never have done that. But the following year, Haley Raby was accidentally, I promise it was accidentally, left at the gas bar. This time, though, she ran after me saying things that I cannot repeat at the church. For some of us, traveling with others can require a lot of patience, especially depending on how they drive or we drive. Or are you like me wondering, how much more patience will I need for the rest of the 2024 year? And I'm wondering, how are we going to make it to November? I mean, Matt Brash is already injured, and the Seattle Mariners still don't have an answer to the third baseman. Oh, you thought I was talking about the elections. No. That's the baseball playoffs. I'm hoping they make it this year. Of course, we could talk about the economy, and that's not anything better, or anything else in the news right now. You might be wondering, when is all this nonsense going to end? There are moments that I wonder, where is God, and why is he allowing all this to happen? Why can't we just go back to when everybody got along? When movies were original and music was real. That's right, I'm talking about the early 90s. Those were the days, or perhaps it may be the 80s for some, or 70s, 60s, 50s, some, yeah. Sound familiar? The Israelites had just left Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. God had provided them bread from heaven. There's a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day to guide them. God was present with them. Yet the people became impatient with God and with Moses. They decided it would be better to leave them at the gas station than go back and to their former ways of life in Egypt. So God sent poisonous snakes. Many people were bitten and start to die. Seeing their sin against Moses and God, they plead to Moses, and they ask that God would help them. Now, if I was bitten by a serpent, here goes the plan. All you have to do is look up at the pole where the bronze serpent is and live. But there are several things that intrigue me. First of all, God does not take away the snakes. In fact, the solution looks like the problem with it on the pole. We pray for God to take the problems away, but God doesn't do that. He gives us something to look at instead, something to believe in. The Israelites looked for the lives to be spared, despite what's going on the ground. In the 90s, there was a Christian rock group called Bride. The music was matured by their fourth album, and one song I really enjoyed. It's called Rattlesnakes in the Playground. And if you're going to Google that right now, you might want to wait till on the way home to play it. But here are some of the lyrics. Dropping rattlesnakes in the playground, are you evil, are we good? Dropping rattlesnakes in the playground, would you save them if you could? It wouldn't get any better if only gets worse. Cry to God and plead the fifth. Who to blame for a dismiss or dismise? Cleanse our hands for all the lies. According to one of the musicians in the group and their personal experiences and letters they received before recording this album, the album lyrics are based on social problems that Christians, from a Christian's point of view, The lyrics deal with drug abuse, suicide, abortion, gang violence, and other issues. Rattlesnakes speaks against those who give drugs to kids in order to turn them to addicts. This song was written over 30 years ago. Has much changed? Listen to this one. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders, love chatter in places of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, tyrannize their teachers. Any guesses who said that? Close. Socrates. Interesting that a Greek philosopher from 400 BC was struggling with similar situations we seem to find ourselves in today. Yet, we can go back further and see how society dealt with the rebellious natures of youth and people. You hear this one. That human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 from morning to night. God was sorry that he made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation and make a clean sweep. People, animals, snakes, and bugs, birds. The works. I'm sorry I made them. Genesis 6:5-7, and that's the Message translation. This was the last time that things were maybe really, really bad. If it was not for Noah and his family, we might not be here today. Yet, it seems yet as we see in the count of the Israelites, God continued to wipe out his rebellious people over and over again. They begin to drift in and out of favor with God. So why does he still not do that today? Just wipe out his creation, start over. To get an answer, we need to go back to the book of John. Here, Jesus refers to the bronze snake that Moses used to save his people from dying of snake bites. And don't confuse this symbol with the medical one I have. See, the medical version is known as the calidosis. It's a stick that was actually a staff carried by an Olympian god. And we have two of them here today. They're not gods, but they are servants of gods. Any guesses who this god was? Hermes. In Greek mythology, Hermes was a messenger between gods and humans, which explains the wings that you see on the symbol, and a guide to the underworld, which would be the staff. In one version of Hermes' myth, he is given the staff by Apollo, who is the god of healing, among other attributes. Another version, he receives the staff from Zeus, the king of the gods, and is entwined with two white ribbons. Of course, the original kadosis is the biblical origin, a rod with a bronze snake on it, and the Greeks over 1,000 years later gave their gods Hermes a rod with wings and two snakes intertwined around it. See, as this pole is raised up by Moses with the bronze snake, a snake not by their feet, but on a pole high above them. The other snakes did not go away. In fact, they're still there, biting them before. But now they could look up and see the other snake that would save them, and they would not die. But there's something that has to happen to make that work. They have to solve their God problem. They have to trust him. In the chapter that John starts out is the account of Nicodemus, who was coming to trust in Jesus. Nicodemus had come to Jesus in the secret of dark to ask whether God was with him. Nicodemus was curious and intrigued by Jesus and the signs that he was performing. Jesus foreshadows what he has to do to come, to be lifted up on the cross. Not that those who look at him would be saved, but the death would be a propitiation for their sins and ours. We need to trust in Jesus. Yet, we too are looking at the snakes at our feet, which usually means that we're glued to the floor. If I am about to look at that into that situation, I have to trust the one who gives me that command, I need faith. The snakes were never really their problem, and I'd guess the things that you might put on your list of problems are not really the problem either. Our biggest problem is vertical, not horizontal. There's no need for God to wipe us out today because Jesus comes to save us from the snake bites of life, where the poison has no effect. Sure, it's very disheartening. Things don't go as they should. There's death, sickness, and evil all around us, and people getting left at gas stations. Things aren't going as they should. The Christian faith is under attack, and it feels like there's very little that we can do about it. But God says, yeah, I know. Here's what I'm doing about it. We say we're dying, and he gives us a bloody, broken body shed on a cross. The solution is not all that I think a powerful God ought to do. We should take away the problem. Instead, he redirects my attention to something mysterious. The serpent on the pole looks like the problem, but it's the solution. Jesus on the cross looks like the worst that this world has to offer, and it turns out to be the best God's offering to us. John goes on to give us the gospel in one of the best Bible verses we know, John 3:16, as he shares that with Nicodemus. All this then results in something good today and through me and in me. My good deeds are removed from the economy of forgiveness and salvation. I'm the recipient of a gift. Now I can act like one who owns heaven, who owns salvation, who is a child of God, who shines the very light in this dark world. God has saved me for a purpose, a sweet and good purpose, the things to do which he pleases him and through which he works great things. We hear this in the epistle reading to the Ephesians, the verse that also has one of the pillars of our faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. And here's the part that we often miss. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We are up and about doing the good things that have prepared for us. We can walk in those good works. It's a total transformation from death to life, full and real life. God could have wiped out the Israelites, but offered up the bronze snake instead. It was held up, and those who were obedient would acknowledge their sins and God's wrath in true repentance. God could continue to wipe out his creation, but he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, who hung on the cross, not in a symbol, but as a Son of Man, the Lamb of God himself, who holds up the eyes of the whole world of sin, the wrath of God, for it is sin in him who bleeds death in order to atone for these sins. We're saved for real and active purpose. We're saved to be God's workmanship in this day and age, time and place. God's love for a broken world means rescue and salvation. We might become impatient with God and with one another. Worse yet, we might be facing the nasty snake who will kill me, the cancer or the heart condition that could end life. Yet, I will close my eyes in death with them firmly fixed on Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. If you're comfortably able, if you could please rise for the confession of our faith. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. he descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Then he will come to judge the living and dead. Living in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.